Look down at verse 6, if you will. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. I kind of hate to announce something like this because if the word gets out, there are certain people on the outside out there that are looking for treasure, you know, and there's liable to be some home invasions this week resulting from this message. So I preach this cautiously, because in the house of the righteous there is much treasure. But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. So we've got treasure and we've got trouble. Here is contrast in this verse between the righteous and the wicked. Here are two houses. In one house, a righteous man lives. In the other house, a wicked man lives. In the house of the righteous, there is, quote, much treasure. In the house of the wicked, there is much trouble. But we've got a problem here. If you've read your Bible lately, you'll read where Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So in the house of the rich, of the righteous, there's much treasure. But where is that treasure? It's in earthen vessels. Now, what he means by earthen vessels is not some big jar over here that's made out of clay that you put a stash all of your valuables in, your diamonds and your rubies and your silver and your gold and your money and all such as this. That's not the kind of earthen vessel that he's talking about. In fact, that's not even the kind of treasure he's talking about. The earthen vessels happen to be our human bodies. Now you keep that in mind as we develop our message this morning. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we have the righteous and the wicked. And we have treasure and we have trouble. But who are the righteous? Now I know you've already classified yourself as one of those righteous ones, haven't you? It's only normal for us to do that. It comes naturally. But what does the Bible say? Romans chapter 3, verse 12, verse 10. There is none righteous. No, not one. Boy, that takes all the wind out of your sails, doesn't it? There's much treasure in the house of the righteous, but you don't have any righteous. If you don't have any righteous, you don't have any treasure. Stands to reason. The Bible says that by nature, we are all unrighteous. By nature, we are the children of wrath. Ooh, that puts us in the other house, doesn't it? And the problem is that When we try to do right, and we do the best that we can, we find that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. I want to be righteous. I do the best I can, but my best is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Now, to have this much treasure in your house, you have to be righteous. But we're not righteous. How can we become righteous and qualify to have this treasure in our house? There's got to be some changes made. We must be made righteous. We cannot become righteous under our own powers. Somebody on the outside of us must make us righteous. We can't do it ourselves. This is where Jesus comes in. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we, look at this is very important, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, Christ Jesus. God makes us righteous in Christ Jesus. Jesus gives us his righteousness. The word is imputed. He has imputed to us, shared his righteousness with us. So the righteousness that you and I have, if we have any, is not ours. It's not worked up within ourselves. It comes from God as a gift of God. And a gift is not to be bought. It's to be received. So that's our part. We reach out our hand and take, and God is the one who gives with his hand. He gives, we take. Now, after he gives us his righteousness, then our house becomes the house of the righteous. And in this house, there is much treasure. So we know where the treasure is. We know what the treasure is that he's talking about in the house of the righteous. And let's look at that treasure that we have. One of the great treasures that we have is peace. We live in a world that's full of trouble, strife, war, bloodshed, hatred, crime and violence. It's rough out there. But we can have peace. We have, first of all, peace with God. And that peace with God was made through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He was the one who made peace with God for us. So we have peace with God. And then when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he gives us the gift of peace of God. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Natural man is in enmity with God. Natural man can never have peace with God except through Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, the Bible says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:1. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. We just took the communion cup. It was by that blood that Jesus shed on the cross that he made peace through his blood by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And reconcile means to be made friendly again. We who were at enmity with God are now made friends with God through Jesus Christ. The reconciled believer finds peace with God. And we find wonderful fellowship with the redeemed people of God. I think of Isaiah 26:3. We preached on this not long ago. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep your minds on Jesus, and he'll keep you in perfect peace. That's what he's telling us. Oh, there are people out in the world. The Bible tells us this. What are they crying? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah 6:14. Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's the other house next door over there where the wicked live. There's no peace in there. They have nothing but trouble. But we've got much treasure, and some of that treasure in the house of the righteous is peace. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Isaiah 32:17 says, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. We have a refuge, and that refuge is in Jesus Christ. Now, I know we're living here in the flesh, and somebody will say, but preacher, I know some Christians, good people, that are having some trouble in their lives. I do too. I know a bunch of them. They got trouble. But the trouble that a Christian has is like heaven compared to the trouble of the sinner. The Christian has somebody to help him and help him bear his burdens. And I'll tell you something else. The trouble that a Christian has that we call trouble is going to turn out to be a blessing, because our God causes all things, even trouble, to work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And God has a purpose in it. We don't know what it is now. We weep, we cry, we moan. But God has a purpose. Picture old Job sitting yonder, destitute, lost his family, lost his home, lost all of his possessions, lost his health. Sitting there in a pile of ashes, scraping his sores from head to toe with a broken piece of pottery. He had trouble, didn't he? But go to the end of the book. That's a Christian's trouble. And then again, a Christian's trouble is short-lived. It doesn't last too long. It will pass. It'll soon be over. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Keep that in mind. Psalm 30 and verse 5. But the sinner, his troubles get heavier and heavier every day. They go from bad to worse, and finally they will merge into eternal trouble of despair forever. Someone has said, the Christian is experiencing all the hell he will never know, he will ever know right now. And the sinner is experiencing and enjoying all of heaven that he will ever know right here and now on the earth. But peace is not the only treasure in the house of the righteous. The righteous also has assurance. We sing a song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Hallelujah! Blessed assurance. People of the world live in a miserable uncertainty. But the Bible believing child of God lives in assurance. What did Jesus say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So the righteous person knows that he has life and he has the assurance that when he dies, he'll go to heaven. That's a treasure. And another treasure that the righteous has in his house is the treasure of forgiveness. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The righteous man does not have to live under the burden of condemnation and guilt of sin. Forgiveness is a gift that we receive from God when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So we have assurance, we have forgiveness, and we have another treasure is purity. I like that. Purity. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. I think of a woman, a Samaritan woman, who met Jesus at a well in Samaria. Now, Jesus got in a conversation with her, and he told her some things about herself that not very many people knew. He took a look at her. I'm going to preach a sermon one of these days on surveillance. This is an aside, because we've got people, Big Brother, listening to every telephone call you make, every word you speak, on a recorded thing. He knows all about your computer and everything like that. And as soon as they find out something against you, they can come and put you in jail or kill you and get rid of you. It's called surveillance. But I'm going to tell you about somebody that knows where you are and what you're doing all the time. He knows every thought of your heart. There's nothing that gets past him, and that's God. And I'll tell you what, we're all going to be called to face our record one day. Amen? Oh, yeah. Talk about surveillance. The government hasn't got anything on God. But listen, purity. This woman, Jesus knew this. He looked at her. He says, "You've had five husbands." How did he know that about me? What else does he know? He says, "I know that you're living with a man right now that you're not married to." Oh my. How do you know this? She went running into town, left her bucket there at the well, and she's told everybody in town, says, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And they came. And the Bible says that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Listen to this. "For the saying of the woman which testified." A lot of people came to know Jesus as personal Savior because of this one woman's testimony. Another treasure that we have is abundance. The word abundance means plenty. It means lots of it. Jesus promised us that he would give us life, and that he would give us life more abundantly. My, what a treasure for impoverished souls. Abundant life. When we get saved, we become an heir of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ. All that he has becomes ours. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" You talk about treasure, there it is. It's abundance. How foolish it is for us to live as orphans when we have access to the riches of Almighty God. And what about joy? Joy is another treasure that the righteous has in his house. "In thy presence," the Bible says, "is fullness of joy." Joy unspeakable and full of glory. "Ask," he says, "and ye shall receive." Why? "That your joy may be full." John 16:24. It's amusing, isn't it? In a way, pathetic humanity out here running from one ball game to another, from one amusement park to another, trying to find entertainment for themselves, satisfaction in this world. The world is seeking joy in all this stuff, but the real joy is to be found only in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. The world comes to an empty well with an empty bucket, I should say, to a dry well, and draws nothing up. Did you know that's a scripture? In Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 3, "They came to the pit and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty." That's the world looking for joy. "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. That's what the Bible says. So treasure or trouble? What will it be? Today, humanity is divided between those who select treasure and those who prefer trouble. We call them the righteous and the wicked, the saved and the lost, the believer and the unbeliever, the saint and the sinner, those who are heaven-bound and those who are hell-bound. Our text says the revenue of the wicked is trouble. What is revenue? Revenue is a return from investment. The revenue of the wicked. Return from investment. For they have sown the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That great evangelist, Gypsy Smith, used to say, it will cost you your sins if you come to Jesus, but it will cost you your soul if you don't. It's good, isn't it? Cost you your sins if you come to Jesus, but it'll cost your soul if you don't. I'm halfway through my message and I've got to find a stopping place somewhere. I'll tell you. We didn't even talk about what the sinner has. What's he got in his house? Not much riches. He's got trouble. He got trouble. Trouble with money. In our economy today, you better be righteous. You're going to need that much trouble because one of these days your money's not going to be worth much, probably. But who is it that robs banks? You read about it nearly every day in the paper. Who robs banks? The righteous or the wicked? No matter how much he has, he still doesn't have enough. They that will be rich fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Has trouble with family as well as money. Divisions, divorce, children brought up in ungodly homes without the sanctifying presence of Jesus. So many of them wind up in trouble. You'll find trouble in the house of the wicked. Trouble with the law. Ooh, they got so many people in prisons today that the walls are bulging with them. In fact, they've got to turn a lot of them loose. I read in the paper the other day. Trouble with the law. Trouble with health. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. We're being told that the lifestyles of people today are far outstripping the advancements of medical science in its effort to preserve health. What's the biggest issue in our country today? Obamacare, as they call it. Health. Health. Insurance, health insurance premiums double and triple the end of this year. Health problems. Did you know that health care is fast becoming the most expensive commodity that we have? The wicked have trouble with health, trouble with death. I sincerely think that deep down in their hearts, the sinner is afraid of death. He's afraid to die because he's afraid to face God with his sins. That's the house of the wicked. He's living scared of eternal death and hell, and he well should be. Trouble with God. What does the Bible say? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I was a lost, unsaved person, I would be too. Because you're going to also have trouble in hell. Eternal trouble. The wicked, oh, we're talking about the righteous and the wicked. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Hell is a forever world. No back door, no escape. Choice is up to us, of course. Do we want to live in the house of the righteous, where there is much treasure? Or do we want to reap the revenue of trouble with the wicked? And that's a choice that each one of us as individuals have to make. I can't make it for you, and you can't make it for me. We can't do it for each other. Which will we choose? The treasure or the trouble? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that makes the difference. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Let's stand together, please. With our heads bowed in prayer. We're going to give an invitation this morning. There may be someone here that needs to come and accept Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and grace, for your mercy. We thank you that for the word of God that's gone forth today. And I pray that we have said something that will take lodging in each of our hearts that we might remember and carry away from this place. And I pray that each one of us may go home to a house of the righteous where there's much treasure. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Number 484.
This is my life. When I am with you, enjoying your presence, your fellowship around the Word of God, this is the next thing to heaven. Come out tonight at 6 o'clock for our evening service. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Raoul, will you lead us, please, in our benediction this morning?
thank you for the cross, the empty tomb, knowing that we have a Redeemer that lives and sits at the right hand. And Father, just guide us safely to our separate places. Help us to walk according to your ways and not our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey.